Good morning, First Baptist Church of Leadville. So good for you to be with us this morning. We've had quite a week as we try and get used to this new lifestyle, this new way of life. We had our midweek Bible study on Thursday and had good attendance at that. And so I hope for a similar thing this upcoming week. I hope you guys are doing well, that you've had a good week thus far. And I'm so excited that you could be with us here this morning. Just a couple of things I'd like to state about today's service. One thing is I've removed the chat that was in the middle of the screen, but it's only removed for during the service. Once the sermon is finished, I'll bring that chat up and we're going to do a Q&A afterwards so that we can have that interaction like before. If you type in it during the sermon, it'll remember what you put. So if you put something in that chat, you can even ask me a question in advance or something like that, and I'll try to go back through the chat after the service. But we wanted you to be able to focus on the content this morning, and then after the sermon is done, then we can bring the chat up and we can interact via that. So that's one thing that we've changed this week. We've been adjusting, and we're gonna keep figuring this out as we go. Okay, so this is our third week that we've been posting the sermon online. The first week we put it to YouTube, last week we streamed it, and this week we're streaming it as well. So we're on part three of what I guess I'm calling our coronavirus series. I, during this time, don't feel comfortable just going through our normal content, but I want to give us content that is going to be helpful here and now during our current time. The first week, we talked about the sovereignty of God, the fact that He's in control of all things, He is in charge of all things, and it is to Him that we must look during this entire process. The second week, we talked about prayer and the importance of prayer and how powerful prayer can be, especially during a time like this. And so this week, I was wrestling with, what do we talk about? What is relevant to our time? What should we be thinking about as we go into this upcoming week, the third week that we've been under this situation? And I thought that the topic of generosity was one that absolutely needed to be addressed given our current situation. Generosity is something that Christians ought to be known for, and what better time than now to demonstrate our generosity to others? So in light of that, I want to just open with Romans 12, 10 to 13. And let's see if I can't make this bigger so that you guys are able to read along with me. I know that some of the slides have been kind of small. My head's in the way, but hopefully that works a little bit better. I can scoot over. Romans 12, 10 to 13. And this is such a good passage. Really, the entire chapter is so good in terms of the topic of generosity. But this is one that I really wanted to share with you guys this morning just to get our minds right, get our hearts prepared and primed for this topic of generosity. Romans 12, 10 to 13. You can follow along with me in your Bibles. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I love that last line, verse 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Really, the whole chapter talks extensively about this topic, this idea of being devoted to one another, helping one another. And we are in a time period where a lot of us are fearful. We're afraid of what's going to happen. We're afraid of what's going to happen to our family, what's happening to us, what's happening to our communities. And it's very difficult for a lot of people right now. And during this time period, it's so easy to get self-absorbed, to get focused on yourself and what's going on in your little world. It's much more difficult instead to have a broader perspective. And so that's what I'd like for us to think about today. Think about others. Think about generosity. Think about having a broader perspective so that we can help others who are in need. And so that's really what I'd like us to focus on today, is the topic of generosity. But of course, before we get into that, I want to just give an announcement about our offerings. We have, as of last week, gotten Faith Life Giving working. So if you go to either of these websites, faithlife.com/FirstBaptistLeadville/give, or you can go to fbcleadville.com/give. If you go to either of these websites, you can sign up for Faith Life Giving. I know a lot of you have expressed concern that you're not able to give or tithe during this time. Well, we set this up. We were going to do this year anyway, but this just accelerated our implementing Faith Life Giving. It's very simple, it's very easy, and you can go in there, you can sign up for recurring donation, you can give a one-time donation. That's completely up to you. As always, of course, like I say in person, please in no way feel obligated to give, but if God has laid it upon your heart and you would like to give, you can give in this way. So you go to fbcleadville.com/give and you can enter your giving there. One other note I wanted to say at this point is we held a church vote this week, the best way we could. We couldn't all gather together in the congregation. The church members were contacted for voting about implementing, purchasing streaming equipment for the church. As you guys know, we're congregationally ruled, and any purchase over $1,000 requires a church vote. And so we actually got everyone's vote this week, contacted everyone, and I would like you guys to know that vote did pass, so we have purchased that equipment, and next week we may be able to stream from the sanctuary. Not sure yet, but that is our aspirational goal. But the reason I'm bringing it up now is many of you asked, how can I donate specifically to this cause? Once we started taking the vote, many were concerned that it being more than $1,000, the vote issue and things like that, people wanted to donate specifically to this cause. And so on Faith Life Giving, when you go to give, there's actually a drop-down menu. You can select, not the general fund, but you can select a different category, and I think it's pretty clear on there, of our technologies and church streaming equipment. So that's for this vote we had this week. It did pass. We have purchased the equipment, but if you would like to give or donate towards that, please feel free to do so right there on Faith Life Giving. So that's your opportunity to do that. In the future, we're going to designate more funds in Faith Life Giving so you can pick specifically what you would like to donate to. Okay? And so just know that about Faith Life Giving this week. Okay. Like I said, today we're going to talk about the topic of generosity. So please open up with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And this morning we'll be in verses 17 through 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 17 through 19. I've entitled the sermon Generosity in a Time of Need. Generosity in a Time of Need. And you will shortly see why I have titled the sermon that. But there are so many people who are in need right now, so many people who are hurting, and it is that time when we ought to, as the church, focus on generosity, being more generous. And so here is our chance, here is our opportunity. Generosity in a time of need. Nearly the very end of the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. And again, let me make this bigger so that everyone can read along with me. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. Follow along with me in your Bibles. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Let's pray. You, our Lord and our God, are holy. Magnify your great name here this morning. Illumine our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear by faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Generosity in a time of need. You know, one trait that is quite admirable that we think about in people is the trait of courage. The trait of courage. You know, when it comes to courage, it is something that needs to be exercised in a context, in a specific context. Courage is not a trait that you can just have by yourself. Courage is a response to an activity or action that is going on in your life. Really, courage is a response to fear. You need courage when you are fearful or afraid. That's when we admire somebody who steps up and has the courage to do something or act in a certain way in spite of their circumstances, in spite of what's going on around them, in spite of their fear. You see, courage is a response to fear, and if fear didn't exist, courage would not be needed. It would not be necessary. We wouldn't admire somebody who showed a lot of courage if they didn't do so in the face of fear. The reason I bring this up is this relationship between courage and fear, I think, is something that is readily obvious to us. But generosity has a similar relationship. Just like courage is not needed if there is no fear, so too generosity is not needed if there is no need. You see, generosity is a response to need, to lack, to people hurting and needing help. That's when generosity comes into play. If there is no need, if there is no lack, if people aren't hurting and needing help, then they do not need generosity. Stacy Mitch says this in her work on courage, and she has a ladies' Bible study she's put out on the topic of courageous, being courageous. Stacy Mitch says this: just as we can only practice courage in the face of fear, we can only practice generosity in the face of need. And so generosity is a response. Just like courage is a response to fear, so too generosity is a response to need. It's a response to lack. It's a response to want. And that's why I chose this topic for our third sermon on the topic of coronavirus. If you look out in the world around you right now, there is a lot of need. There is a lot of lack. People are wanting, and I mean that in a technical sense, they want things, not they desire things, but they actually have a lack and they want for things. There are people out there losing their jobs right now. There are people out there not collecting a paycheck, people being laid off, all of these different situations. There is a lot of need out in the world around us right now. And so because of that, if courage is a response to fear, and if generosity is a response to need, then if our needs are so great right now, so too our generosity ought to be great right now. And it's in light of that that I would just like to get to our main proposition. And I'll make this big. It's got a lot of information on it. Here's the primary proposition I would like us to consider then this morning. Because generosity can only be flexed in a time of need, Christians should take this time as an opportunity to flex their generosity more than ever before. I'm going to move my head so I'm over to the other side. I know that might freak some of you out. Because generosity can only be flexed in a time of need, Christians should take this time as an opportunity to flex their generosity more than ever before. If needs are at an all-time high in our lifetimes, and I think they are amongst most people, then generosity from Christians, among Christians, ought to be also at a bit of an all-time high, if that makes sense. We need to really flex our generosity in this time. As people are struggling, they have these difficulties, they have these problems, this is our opportunity as the church to really flex our generosity and show the love of Jesus to people in light of the situation. And so, because of that, in 1 Timothy 6, 17 to 19, I have three primary points that I'd like us to focus on the topic of generosity. First, we want to be more generous right now, but we would be naive to think just telling you go out and be more generous is going to actually accomplish that. The fact of the matter is we all have obstacles when it comes to generosity in our lives. And so the first thing, verse 17 in 1 Timothy 6, I want to talk about the topic of generosity's obstacles. What are generosity's obstacles? If we can identify the obstacles to generosity, we can begin to tackle them and diminish them and take those obstacles out of the way, more enabling us to be generous. Second, we need to be aware of generosity's opportunities, and we're going to see that in verse 18. Generosity comes in many shapes and forms. We may think of it purely as financial, but that's not necessarily the case. And we're going to see that in verse 18, that we have an opportunity to be generous in a way that isn't simply financial. And finally, the third point in verse 19, generosity's operations. And it's at this point that the third point that I just want to give some practical steps or some practical guidelines to how you can implement generosity in your lifetime. We're going to look at obstacles, and we're going to talk about how to try and eliminate those. We're going to look at opportunities and think about what generosity looks like in general. And then I'm going to try to give you four practical steps in generosity's operations to try and work on your generosity in your day-to-day life. And so that's where we are going this morning. Generosity's obstacles, generosity's opportunities, and generosity's operations. Again, verses 17, 18, and 19. So first, generosity's obstacles in verse 17. You know, I think the first and primary obstacle to generosity is the issue of mindset. We must have the right mindset if we are going to be able to be generous. Generosity starts with a mindset. And if we don't have the right mindset, we're not going to be able to be generous. The main mindset that I want you to see here that we ought to have, there's actually a contrast, and people are naturally of one or two of these bents, okay? The issue is that of abundance versus scarcity, okay? Is our world one of abundance? There is a fullness, there's plenty, all of that stuff in the world? Or is our world one of scarcity? This has to do with mindset. And if you have one of these perspectives, it's going to encourage you and enable you to be generous. Whereas if you have one of the other perspectives, it's going to hold you back from being generous. Is our world one of abundance, or is it one of scarcity? That's the first thing I want you to ask. And I think the biblical position is quite clear that our world is one of abundance. We serve a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity, and we don't live in a world of scarcity. Look with me at verse 17 to see this specifically. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God doesn't just provide us with an adequate amount. He doesn't just provide us with just our basic needs. He richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God, we serve an overabundant God. He is over the top in his generosity, in his passion, in those things that he gives to us as human beings. I have a quote from Walt Brueggemann here, and he talks about God's abundance from the very beginning in the book of Genesis. Listen to what Walt Brueggemann says. He says, "The Bible starts out with a liturgy of abundance. Genesis 1 is a song of praise for God's generosity. It tells how well the world is ordered. It is good, and it is good, and it is very good," it keeps on saying. It declares that God blesses, that is, endows with vitality the plants and the animals, the fish and the birds and humankind, and it pictures the Creator as saying, "Be fruitful and multiply." You see, God creates the world and gives us almost this giant playground in which we can interact and play in. He fills the world with birds, with fish, with animals, with all of these things. We serve a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity. He overpopulates the world with so much and says, "Be fruitful and multiply." If I could say this, I think you would understand what I'm saying. God is almost wasteful in his provision for mankind, in his provision for the world, in how he has set everything up. Of course, God wastes nothing, but he is almost wasteful in how overabundant he is in terms of his provision for mankind. And that happens from Genesis 1 all the way up to our current time, our current day and age. If you think about it, the concept of scarcity versus the concept of abundance is actually an old battle that even the Israelites had to wage. You see, if you think about Israel being captured and taken into captivity into slavery by Pharaoh, Pharaoh had a scarcity mindset. He didn't have enough of the resources, so he had to enslave the Israelites and take all of their goods and all of their things and all of their production for his own house, for his own pleasure. You see, Pharaoh had a scarcity mindset. He feared
the world around him. He feared a lack of resources. They had been through famine, and he was afraid. He had a scarcity mindset. Contrast that with God. After he brings the Israelites out of Egypt and they're wandering in the wilderness, he gives them manna from heaven, everything they could need in terms of food. And this manna was more than they needed, so much so that they could even try and stockpile some of it because they had plenty to eat. So they tried to stockpile it, but it always went bad. Why did it go bad? God was trying to teach the Israelites not to live with a scarcity mindset, but instead to live with a mindset of abundance. You see, the Israelites learned a scarcity mindset while they were in Egypt. And they learned this scarcity mindset in Egypt, and when they got manna out in the wilderness, they thought, we need to stockpile as much of this as possible. Why? Because they had a mindset of scarcity. But God was trying to change their mind. When I've got you, says God, I am a God of abundance, and I am going to provide richly, he says in 1 Timothy 6. We don't need to be holding on tight to all of our things and worried about all of these things because we serve a God of abundance who cares about his children. I heard one story of a woman who was struggling with her weight, and this is a story from Dan Doriani. He's a pastor and Bible teacher, and he said this about this woman. This woman came up to him, and they were talking about food at the time, and she was struggling with her weight and overeating, and she said, you know, a cookie torments me. And Dan said, how so? How does a cookie torment you? She goes, well, if there's a plate, and maybe, let's say at work, somebody baked cookies and put them in the break room. And she goes, I go into that break room, and it's the last cookie on the plate. I don't need that cookie. It's not something I have to have. I don't need it at all. But I walk away, and something in my mind says, if you don't go grab that cookie, it's going to be gone. It's going to disappear. You're not going to have it anymore. And it's not so much that somebody else is getting it. She doesn't mind that at all. But the problem for her is that she won't have it anymore. If she grabs that cookie right now, it can be hers. She can have it. But if she leaves it there and somebody else grabs it, then it's no longer hers. She no longer has that opportunity to have it. Somebody else will take it and then she won't have it. Guess what? Her mindset is one of scarcity. She obviously is demonstrating a fundamental idolatry with the topic of food to begin with, but she struggles with scarcity. There's only one cookie left. What am I going to do? I should grab it now before it's gone, because if it's gone, I won't have it again. It's in light of this that I want to bring up the first point that I'd like to talk about on generosity's obstacles, especially in our day and age. Okay? Of course, all of us know about the toilet paper hoarders that are out there right now. You can't find toilet paper anywhere. I made my first shopping trip of this pandemic this week. Some of you say, how did you make your first shopping trip of the pandemic this week? Well, we stocked up when Jess had Oliver, so we didn't have to go to the store shortly thereafter. And then you guys got that meal train going, and I didn't have to worry about food for some time, right? So I made my first trip this week to the store, and I got there right when it opened. There were four of us. I grabbed my cart behind the other three men, and they went in, and all of them immediately took a right and went straight to the paper aisle. Now, I was going to go to the meats and cheeses. That's where I was going to go. But I thought, these guys seem to know what they're doing. And so I followed those four men. We all went straight down the paper aisle, and there were four packages of toilet paper on the shelf. And of course, they were limited, one per customer. So each of us got one package, and once we got our package, it was done. They were out, right? And I wasn't trying to hoard. It was on my list. I needed toilet paper, but I didn't realize the strategy of shopping in the right order during our current day and age. But you have to know that. You have to be ready for that and prepared for shopping during our day and age. Now, the reason I bring that up is a lot of people have the same mindset right now that this lady had about the cookie. If I don't get the cookie, it's going to be gone. I won't have it, right? I would imagine that some of the people who picked up the toilet paper didn't need any more, but it's a desirable item right now. And so if I don't grab it, I'm not going to have the chance or the opportunity to do so. So I need to get it, right? It's on their list. Okay? And of course, we saw before all of this happened that people were stacking up stacks and stacks of toilet paper and things like that in their cart. All of this comes from a scarcity mindset. It's a scarcity mindset that says, this is going to be gone. I won't have it. I need to stock up. And it's a fear-based response to the situation that's going on around us. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this up is we need to ensure that we are not like the Israelites collecting manna in the wilderness when God is going to richly provide the next day more manna and the day after that and the day after that. I'm not advocating being foolish. That's not what I'm advocating at all, right? We need to plan and do what we can to have those things in place. But the fact of the matter is right now, there is a great danger for many people to have a scarcity mindset. And because of that, completely fail in the area of generosity. You see, if you have that scarcity mindset, you're never going to be able to be generous with your goods. Because anything that anybody else gets, gets taken away from you. It could have been yours. You could have had it. And because resources are scarce, we can't afford to do that. But if resources are abundant, if God showers manna from heaven to Israel every day, there's no need to worry about stockpiling these things. What are we going to do for lunch tomorrow? No, God has us covered. He is going to feed us and take care of us. There's a great danger to generosity in a mindset of scarcity, and we serve a God of abundance. So that's the first thing I would like you to see. But there's another aspect in verse 17 that I think is helpful. And this aspect is the idea of remembering God in the situation. You see, here's the problem. We might adopt a mindset of abundance. Okay, God is a God of abundance. He gives us everything we need. And we might adopt that type of mindset. But when a people begin to prosper, when a people begin to experience abundance, there is a tendency amongst those people to forget God. And that is the next obstacle I'd like to point out towards generosity. First, there's an obstacle of having the wrong mindset. We need to correct that. But once you have the right mindset, there's a tendency to forget God. Because once you've adopted a mindset of abundance and you've recognized, okay, God is a God of abundance, now we begin to produce our goods and our materials and we have everything that we need and we never had to pray about it once. We never had to ask God in the process. And so those who have abundance often tend to forget God. If you will look with me again at verse 17, it says this. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Paul makes it clear that our hope ought to be in God. Riches are fleeting, they're uncertain, and if we rely on our own ability to produce wealth, then we are relying not on God, but upon ourselves. You see, when it comes to obstacles to generosity, I want you to ask this question. We're talking about being generous with our goods. I want you to ask this question. Look around at your things. Look in your wallet, at your money. Ask yourself this question. Whose stuff is this? Whose money is this? Whose stuff is this? This stuff is God's stuff. There's a tendency when we experience abundance to put our trust in stuff. But the fact of the matter is that God has given us these things. God has given us stuff to use and to utilize, but it's ultimately His. It comes from Him. You see, again, a people that experiences abundance might have that tendency to trust in their own stuff, not God. I don't need to trust in God. I've got money. People act that way. You may not say that with your words. You may not think it in your mind, but you act that way. You act like you don't need God because you've got plenty of money. You act like you don't need God because you have plenty of skills and marketable abilities. I can generate wealth and income for myself. So instead you begin to trust in stuff, or you begin to trust in your own skills and abilities rather than trusting in God. And Paul makes it very clear in verse 17, don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put your hope in God. We can't forget God. Because if we do, we will never be able to be generous. There's an artist that I like who has a quote in one of his songs. He says this. He says, I thought my way to greatness. Okay? Doesn't sound very humble now, does it? He says, I thought my way to greatness. I could claim this. but God gave me the brain. I thought my way to greatness, I could claim this. He's made his way as an artist. You know, he makes millions of dollars selling records and things like this. I thought my way to greatness, I could claim this, but God gave me the brain. What does he recognize? He goes, I've got skills, sure. I've got abilities. I've been able to do certain things. I could claim that. But if I'm being honest, it's God who gave me this ability. Even your own skills and abilities. A lot of people have such a tendency to say, I made my own wealth. I worked hard and I have generated this for myself. I've not once had luck in this area of my life, right? It may not be luck, but it's providence. God built you a certain way and put you in a certain area of your life so that you could do or not do certain things. God has enabled you to do those things. Just so you know, if you're going to check out that artist, his music is not G-rated. I want you to know that. But that's an interesting line. I thought my way to greatness, I could claim this, but God gave me the brain. And so he, for what it's worth, he is a confusing artist to me because he will have quotes like that in his songs, and then he will have also quotes that aren't so godly. And you kind of wonder what category to put him in. But on that subject, at least at that point, he has got the right mindset. I thought my way to greatness, I could have claimed this, but no, God gave me the brain. God gave me any abilities, any skills, any opportunities I have. Are you able to generate wealth with your skills and abilities? Do you have marketable skills and abilities? Don't trust in those things. Trust and hope in God. He is the one who gave you those skills and abilities. So first we need to change our mindset from a mindset of scarcity to a mindset of abundance. But secondly, we need to ask ourselves the question, whose stuff is this? Whose skills or abilities is this? They're God's. And once we recognize that they are God's things, that our skills and abilities belong to God to be used at His whim and at His pleasure, then we can begin to work towards a path of generosity. Now, I want to make two last quick points about obstacles to generosity. The first is the topic of abuse. And what I mean by abuse is if I'm generous to this person, they are going to abuse my generosity. The stereotypical example of this is if I give money to this person who's claiming to be homeless, they are going to spend it on drugs and alcohol. And we tell ourselves this in our minds. In a sense, we are saying, I'm not going to be generous because X, Y, or Z. We put something in our minds. And it's usually that somebody is going to abuse our generosity. Well, I have two things. You can be careful in how you're generous. You can go buy them a meal and bring it to them. You can do something like that rather than just giving them cash outright. So that's one option. But the second option, I think, is also helpful because you might be in a situation where you don't have time to vet everybody that is asking generosity of you. And it's at this point that I want to challenge you. The Bible never tells us to be very careful with generosity. The Bible, be generous, and others will answer for how they use your generosity. Okay? Once you hand the money over to this individual, they get to answer to God for how they use it. You've done your part. You've been generous as you were supposed to do. You've done what God has asked you to do. Just be generous. They'll answer for how they use the funds, okay? And that's in God's hands. Again, you can be generous in a careful manner. I've got no problem with that. But sometimes you don't have time. Sometimes you can't vet everybody that you're seeking to be generous to. Stop making excuses to not be generous, and instead, be generous and recognize the rest is in God's hands, and they can answer to God for how they use the way you've blessed them. You're not going to be looked down upon from God because you're generous to somebody, but they used it for ill will. No, be generous like God calls you to be and stop making excuses and let them answer for how they utilize your generosity. So let's shut down that they're going to abuse my generosity mindset. And again, have a mindset of abundance. Don't forget God, but ask ourselves, whose stuff is this? One final point, not in the text, but very relevant in our day and age. And this is the topic of debt. Debt will absolutely cripple your ability to be generous. I remember one man was asked speaking to a woman about tithing. And she said, I'm in debt. I can't tithe. And he said, okay, tell me about that. What's going on there? She goes, well, I'm in debt. I'm trying to pay off my debt. I don't have an ability to tithe right now. I can't give. I will get myself out of this financial hole, and then once I'm out of this financial hole, then I'll start giving. And he said, okay, how's that working out for you? And what he meant is, how long have you been in this process of getting yourself out of a financial hole so that you can tithe? And she stopped and thought about it for a moment. She goes, well, I guess it's been about 10 years. And the point with that is that she had honestly been using the fact that she was in debt as an excuse to not tithe. And she wasn't digging herself out of her financial hole. She didn't really have a plan. She was just using that as an excuse to not tithe. The man challenged her. He said, why don't you start tithing today? Well, I can't do that. I'm in debt. Even a little amount, just a small amount. Why don't you start? And something opened up in her that made her want to be more responsible with her finances. It was after she started tithing, just a small amount, that she was then able to begin to implement some level of discipline in her life surrounding her debt. And within a few short years, she had her debt paid off and she was tithing regularly. And so there's a sense in which we need to be generous sometimes, even in spite of our circumstances. But more than that, if you are in debt, you need to make a plan to get out of debt. This is how the world lives. You know, you talk about these concepts, these mindsets, all these different things, but ultimately, a world of many loans, a world of constant debt, is the world in which the population lives. Christians ought not to live this way. The Bible speaks out against debt in many, many places. I don't have time to go into it here, but if you're interested in this, look into Dave Ramsey's material. Dave Ramsey has a quote that I love, and he says this. He says, you have to live like no one else today so that you can live and give like no one else tomorrow. What he means is, nowadays, everybody is putting everything on credit. Everybody is taking out loans on everything in their lives. And what he says is, you got to be different. You know, Christians are open to being a little different, right? We don't live like the world in many ways, shapes, and forms. But when it comes to debt, when it comes to finances, we often live exactly like the world. Dave Ramsey challenges us. He says, look, don't live like the world. Get your debt paid off. Get out from underneath that. It is putting a weight upon you so that you can't be generous as you ought to be. And once you get out of that debt, now you can live and give like nobody else. And again, that and give is an important part. You can be generous. Why? Because you've spent the time up front to get out of debt so that you can set yourself up to be generous in the future. And so I would encourage anybody out there who is in debt right now, recognize this is a crippling obstacle to generosity. You can't be generous if you've got a weight of debt on your shoulders. Dave Ramsey does make exclusions for a mortgage, a home mortgage, in terms of buying a home, but all other forms of debt, Dave Ramsey says, are things that we ought to get out from under. And I agree with him on that point. So again, obstacles to generosity. We have the mindset. You got to have an abundance mindset, not scarcity. We can't forget God. We can't forget God. We have to remember, whose stuff is this? It's His. We've got to stop making excuses like, oh, they're going to abuse my generosity. No, you do your part and let God worry about His. And finally, we got to get out from under our debt because it cripples us and doesn't enable us to live in the way we ought to. So those are generosity's obstacles in terms of generosity in a time of need. But what about generosity's opportunities? And we're going to see that in verse 18. So I'm just going to make this big again so you can see the outline. We're looking now at generosity's opportunities. Okay? We have to recognize obstacles to generosity. But more than that, we need to recognize opportunities for generosity. And it's at this point, you can see in verse 18, that we have opportunities for generosity. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And so this is generosity's opportunities. And what I want to say at this point in verse 18 is, yes, the verse says to be generous and willing to share. That seems to be financial. But it also starts with being rich in good deeds. You see, generosity is much more than simply giving financially. It's much more than simply money or tithing, like we talked about. Being rich in good deeds, according to Paul, is where your generosity begins. And it's at this point that I would like you to think about recognizing your gifts and skills. Do you have money and finances that you can be generous with? Great. God bless you and be generous with those. But you can also be generous in other ways. You have gifts and skills that God has enabled you with, that He has empowered you with, that you can be generous with. These gifts and skills, these provide you opportunities to be generous. You see, if you are simply thinking financially, you may be thinking a yes or no in terms of generosity. But you have gifts and skills that you can bring to bear in order to be generous in people's lives. Let me just give some examples. Perhaps you're a good cook. You love cooking and you really, really enjoy it. You might have a gift or skill that can be leveraged for hospitality. And you could be generous to people in your hospitality. You might get so much joy out of making a nice big meal for people and them sitting down around the table and enjoying company and talking and laughing and joking and that food warming their stomach and the company warming their heart. Perhaps you're a good cook and you can be generous in hospitality in terms of using your gifts and skills to cook for people. Or maybe you're really good at fixing things. You've always been interested, you know, you're always fidgeting with little items, you're always fixing little mechanical things. Well, maybe you could be a bit of a handyman for others in the church or others in your neighborhood. People know if something goes wrong with something in their house, their lawnmower won't fire up, they can't get their hot water heater to go. They know they can call you and you're going to be able to tinker with it and fix it. And you can leverage that gift or that skill, that ability to be generous towards others. Maybe you like talking to people. You enjoy interacting with others, asking them questions. You're very curious about others and their upbringing, their lives, their situation. Maybe you could be generous to people in terms of visitation. Maybe you would want to go through our directory and call people regularly to speak with them and talk with them and visit with them. These are different gifts and skills. These are abilities that God has given us for us to be generous with. And I want to encourage you to utilize your gifts and skills. Utilize your abilities. In fact, God has made Christians in such a way that they will achieve the greatest satisfaction in the implementation of their gifts and skills. God has given you gifts and skills. If you will use them to bless others, you will find great satisfaction in doing that, and you will be a blessing to others. Exercising your gifts and skills are a great opportunity for you to be generous. So, think of new ways to implement these gifts and skills, especially in light of coronavirus. What can you do if you have certain gifts and skills? What do you like? What do you enjoy? What are you good at? What comes naturally to you? Now, I want you to genuinely think creatively about how you can utilize that gift, skill, or ability during our current time. What can you do? What could you help with? Again, perhaps you're good at cooking, you enjoy that gift of hospitality, but we can't all gather together right now. Well, how can you still help people and cook for people in this time? Maybe the meal trains are a good example of how you can do that. These are the sorts of things, helping people during this time creatively with our skills and abilities, with our gifts, is one of the things we have to be thinking about if we're going to truly be generous. Now, you might be telling me, you might be thinking to yourself right now, that's all well and good, Tanner, but I don't have any skills. I don't have any gifts or abilities. I don't have any skills like that. Well, on the one hand, I would say you're wrong. Okay. As gently and lovingly as I can, you're wrong about that. You do have skills and abilities and gifts. But let's assume for the sake of argument that you're right. You don't have any special skills or abilities or gifts that you can utilize to be generous to people. Well, guess what? People out there desire emotional connection. They desire people to listen to them. They desire your time to interact with them. You'd be amazed at just what a listening ear can do for somebody's morale. There are so many people out there who are lonely and suffering and desiring, longing for community, but not able to find it. Christians have a great opportunity to speak into people's lives and try and alleviate some of that loneliness. So even if you have no gift, skill, or ability that you can think of that you can utilize in this way, take some time and give some of your time to people. Listen to them. Connect with them emotionally. And hear them out. Speak with them. You can change somebody's world if you will spend some time with them. There are few gifts as easy to give as our time, and yet few as effective as our time. That can be so helpful for so many people. We can have an effective impact on people's lives if we will give them the gift of time, listening to them, and connecting with them emotionally. I have a story of a coworker I used to have, and some of you have probably heard this before. I think I've shared it several times. He had a young son, and this broke my heart when I heard this. He said at work, we were all sitting together, I think over lunch, just talking. He said, "I buy my son all of the video games. He's got the Xbox, he's got the PlayStation, he's got all of these things. And yet he keeps bothering me. He has everything to entertain himself, and yet he keeps bothering me. I wish he would just leave me alone." And it broke my heart to hear a father say that about his son. But more than that, he vastly undervalued and underrecognized the importance of emotional connection, time, and listening to others. Now, somebody does not have to be a relative of yours for you to be able to do this effectively and well in their lives, for you to be able to connect with them. So listen to people, be with people. This is generosity's opportunities. You can be generous with your finances, sure. Be generous and willing to share, says Paul, but he also says to be rich in good deeds. And so you can be generous with your gifts and skills, and you can be generous with your time, your emotion, your connection, and listening to others. We can be generous in all of these ways, even during this time. So we should call people right now. Call people, see how they're doing. Touch base with people, especially people that you know don't have a large family or a lot of people to rely upon. Interact with them and help them to feel like they're not alone during this time, because right now loneliness is hurting many people more than ever before. Finally, generosity's operations. Generosity's operations. And I don't want to first go to verse 19. We are going to end up there, but I don't want to first go to verse 19 in terms of generosity's operations. But what I'd first like to do is just tell you four practical steps for being generous. Okay, we've identified the obstacles and we need to tear those down. Change our mindset. Don't forget God. Don't make excuses that people are going to abuse it, and get out of debt. We've recognized that we can be generous with money, with our gifts and our skills, and with our time and listening to others. Now, how practically can we be generous in people's lives? How can we practically do that? And so it's at this point that I want to give you four short steps, easy steps on how to practically be generous in people's lives. This is Generosity's Operations, and it's actually an acronym, NAPA, N-A-P-A, okay? I worked hard to come up with an acronym, okay? N-A-P-A, there's NAPA Auto Parts, right? Well, if you want to operate generously, you should implement NAPA, N-A-P-A. The first thing that we need to do in order to be generous is to notice. Okay, that's the N, to notice. It is so easy for us to be sucked into our own little world, especially during a time like coronavirus. We're worried about ourselves, we're worried about how we're going to provide, we're worried that we're going to have enough, we're worried about all of these different things. And we can get sucked into our own little world. The first thing you have to be able to do if you're going to be generous is notice. And in order to notice, you can't be sucked into your own little world, but you have to actually be actively looking around you into other people's worlds. What are they doing? What are they struggling with? Do they need help? That sort of thing. You need to notice others. And so we need to step out of our own little world and start looking at other people's world. We need to notice. Because if we don't notice, we're never going to see that opportunity to be generous in their lives. Don't be sucked in your own little world, but be looking around out there. Be looking at people in your life. Be looking at individuals in the church and look at their situation. Notice their situation and see if you can be generous there. The second thing we have to do, notice for NAPA. The next one is the A, that is available. And what I mean at this point is you can't really be generous if you are overbooking your life. We have a tendency to stuff our schedules full of things. We have an appointment at 7:30, and then we book something for 7:45 because I'm pretty sure I can get there in time. We are just stuffing our lives full of stuff. And because of that, we end up overbooking. And here's the problem. You may notice opportunities to be generous, but because you are so overbooked, you can't actually respond to those opportunities. I was reading a book written by a CEO on leadership, and he said, the things you think of as interruptions in your life, those are my job. What did he mean? He said, you're working in your office, you know, doing something on the computer, you're typing away, you're doing all of that stuff. and somebody walks in, and you can't wait for them to leave because you need to get back to the task at hand. This CEO said, those things that you think of as interruptions, the person coming through the door, that's my job. That's what I look forward to. And he sets his materials off to the side and looks somebody full in the eye and interacts with them individually. He plans for interruptions. He knows they're going to come. He plans for them and he plans to be ready. You have to be available if you can be generous in other people's lives. You might even plan generosity. This might happen. You might think, okay, here's my giftings. Here's how I want to be generous this week with them. On Tuesday at noon, I'm going to do that thing. I'm going to be generous in that way. I'm going to book it and put a reminder in my phone so that I know to be generous during that time. That might work for you, but we can't overbook our lives. We have to be available. Otherwise, we can't be generous. Again, third thing, Napa. Notice, available. The third thing is prayer. Prayer is absolutely essential. The first thing you need to pray about is some of the stuff we've been talking about. You need to pray that you would notice, right? That's not something you can just change in and of yourself. God has to change us and work on our heart to change those things. You need to pray that God would adjust your mindset. Do you have a mindset of scarcity in your default disposition? If so, pray that God would change your scarcity mindset into an abundance mindset. Pray for those things. But once you've prayed that you would notice people, once you've prayed for the change in mindset, we also need to pray about those specific situations. Again, you notice there's a need. You are available for that need. Now you pray. God, I see this individual, I see this situation. Would you have me to help in their lives? Would you have me to be generous to them in some way, shape, or form? It never hurts to pray about these things, even if there isn't an audible voice in your head that says, yes, go help them. At least you've prayed about it and you can begin to implement some of your generosity. And finally, number four, Napa, notice, available, pray, and act. The final thing is you have to do the thing. You have to be generous. You actually have to go out of your way to take action. Many of us have the grandest intentions in our minds, but they never make their way to our feet or our hands. We must act on the generous things that we know we ought to be doing. We have to actually do the thing. We actually have to go out of our way to be generous. And so those are four simple steps for generosity's operations. Notice, available, prayer, and act. Now finally, I would like to end with verse 19 of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:19. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. And what I want to point out to you, what I would love to do is motivate you now and get you to see, you want to live this way. Generosity is something that you want to do. This, you know, is worthwhile. Verse 19 says, in this way you will lay up treasures for yourselves in a firm foundation for the coming age. Living this way has eternal worth and value. What does buying, you know, another game have to do? What did buying another gun? What kind of eternal worth and value does that provide? Another four-wheeler or another toy? Right? What does doing all of that have to do? Living this way, being generous into other people's lives, actually has eternal worth and value. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves and a firm foundation for the coming age. And I love the second half of verse 19. Look at this. Oh, I love this. So that they will take hold of life that is truly life. All of those other things that I just described, those are vapid. Those are fleeting. Those aren't life. They feel like life because they're exhilarating. They can get your blood pumping. They can get your adrenaline going. They can get you excited and motivated. They can get your dopamine firing in your brain. But that's not real life. That's not truly life. Paul says, if you live this way, if you live generously in other people's lives, then you will lay hold of life that is truly life. I mean, what is real life anymore? We've got this whole situation. Look, we're interacting with each other over the internet. We're holding a church service over the internet. What is real life anymore? The way our lives and our technologies are changing have changed and shaped and morphed these things in a way that seems almost incomprehensible. Well, I want you to know what real life is. Real life, according to Paul, is the life of generosity. This is the life Jesus lived when he walked here on this earth. Can we do this still, but we might have to do it in different ways? Yes. We might have to act a little differently. We might have to implement it a little differently. But if your life demonstrates no generosity, especially in a time of need like this, especially when people are hurting and people have need, if you can't tear down these obstacles, if you can't look for these opportunities, and if you can't take these operations and act upon them, then when can we say we're living life? Lay hold of life that is truly life, life that is found in the Word, life that is generous, like Christ was generous to us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your Word, and I thank you that we can interact and read your Word and study your Word. I pray you would change our hearts and our minds, that you would work on all of us, Lord, that we might have a mindset of generosity. Please help us, Lord God, to implement these things in our hearts and our lives so that we could live generously even in this time, especially in this time, so that people who have need would say, wow, Christ's church fulfills and provides for our needs. Maybe Jesus is the way after all. I pray that you would help us to live in light of that, to have that truth and that attitude, and to speak that way towards others. Please open up our hearts and minds to this and change us, Lord, to be more like Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys. Amen. Okay, I'm going to bring up the chat now. I know I've been hiding it up until now. Let's bring up the chat. And it's at this point that I would like to go into Q&A. I see Dorcas on Facebook says, hi, everyone. And it's at this point, anyone who has any questions, comments about the message, please feel free to interact in the chat and ask questions. I should, regardless of your platform, I should be able to see it. So feel free to ask any questions in the chat. Doing good. We've got 24 viewers, showing 24 viewers right now across multiple platforms. That's excellent. And also, I'm going to look and see how Faith Life is. Good. I've got it going on Faith Life as well. Awesome. I need to reload my chat. It's not working. Okay. I'm sorry if you typed something and it didn't work. The chat application can't find any supported channels enabled. Oh boy. Let's see if I can't get this going, guys. Otherwise, it's going to be very hard to do Q&A if you guys can't talk to me. Isn't that the truth? Let's see. Chat. Let's try this. Okay, chat's struggling, so here's what I'm going to do, guys. I'm going to open up all of the platforms individually. So you might hear some sounds. Just hold on tight. And I need to open up all the chats individually so I can see your guys' questions, because my chat application is not working. So just give me a moment here, guys. I don't want to listen to myself. I want to view the chat. Sorry, guys. I'm getting it. I'm getting it.
Let's go.
Okay. Muted. All right. I've got chats available now. I don't have YouTube. Let me open YouTube as well. Sorry, guys. Normally, I have a chat program that aggregates all of the chats from all of my channels, and it's not working. So, there we go. Should be working now, and I will try to grab chat from every stream. So, I apologize if I'm moving around or looking at different stuff. Let's see, over here on Facebook. Let me grab that first. On Facebook, Dorcas Dorcas asks, if I ask a question during the sermon, will it be distracting? No, I don't look at the chat during the sermon. So feel free to ask questions during the sermon on the chat. Sorry if I didn't make that clear ahead of time. Tina Wood says, I think he will take questions at the end like usual. Yes, but you can ask them ahead of time as well. And I can, obviously, as you can see here, I can see them after the fact. Okay. Let's look at the next one. Dorcas says, hi, Vicky. Glad you could join us from Missouri. Awesome. Lisa and Brad and Marcia have joined. Very good. Again, if you have any questions, please feel free to type those in the chat. Got nothing on Faith Life. Got nothing on YouTube. No questions on Twitch as of right now. Sorry, my chat program has been working. Do you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns for me? No questions on Twitch. There we go. Okay, guys. Well, I'm not seeing any questions, so if you don't have any, that's fine. But I am here to answer. I know there. I'm going to wait a little bit longer. I know it looks like I'm stalling, because I am. But I'm going to wait a little bit longer because I know there's a lag on some of the platforms in terms of the chat. So I'm just going to wait a little bit longer for any questions. But if nobody has anything, then I can leave you guys to your afternoons. Am I dropping frames right now? Phew. Okay, Lisa comes to the rescue. Lisa says, I would love to hear some practical ideas that you have all done to help your neighbors recently. It would be nice to have some fresh ideas. We've been taxing neighbors, but not quite sure about what to do beyond that when we have to maintain distance. Great question, Lisa. This is a great question, and I'm so glad you asked it, because you're right. We're essentially told, don't go interact with people, don't go talk to people, don't spend time with people, stay away from each other if you don't live in the same house, right? And it's like, how on earth can I be generous during a time like this? Now, I was kind of joking about the toilet paper in the middle of the sermon, but, you know, what generosity right now looks like is sharing a roll of toilet paper with your neighbor if they need it, right? That's what generosity looks like. But here's the problem, and I think you're getting to the heart of the issue, Lisa, is how on earth do I know that they need toilet paper? How do I even know? I'm not talking with them. I'm not interacting with them. What's going on, right? I think during this time, especially for our close neighbors, just popping by and seeing how they're doing, maybe even bringing a dish over or something like that, I think that can be appropriate. You're not allowed to hang out with them, right? According to the shelter in place order that we have here in Colorado. But you can show little thoughtful ideas like that. Maybe even popping by, hey, I was going to make a run to the store. Did you guys need anything? Maybe I can pick it up for you so we can reduce your exposure. You know, stuff like that. You know, and some people might be inherently distrustful because of the atmosphere right now. There's nothing you can do about that. But those, I think, are the sorts of things that we can do right now to try and help people. Of course, as Lisa said, Lisa's reaching out to the chat, right? But yeah, anyone in the chat who has some good ideas as well, that would be helpful. But those are the sorts of things I think we can do. More than anything, we can't be generous. I didn't even put this in the sermon, but we can't be generous when we're not interacting with people, right? That's the notice part. You can't notice their needs if you have no interaction with them. And so I would find some way to still obey the rules right now. And you can be generous while still obeying those rules, right? By maybe swinging by, asking if they need anything, telling them, hey, I picked up some extras of this or that or the other. Let me know if you guys need anything. You know, that type of thing I think could be helpful and could be generous towards others. Very good question, Lisa. And I would encourage you guys to, again, be creative in this area. Be creative about this. Tina says, great thoughts, Tanner. Thanks. I would love to hear practical ideas from everyone on ways to practice generosity during this time. Absolutely. Get those ideas in the chat and interact on that basis, and we can try to, as a church, be generous right now. It's absolutely needed. Very, very good. Lisa said, I meant texting our neighbors. Okay, I thought that was a typo. I like read it two or three times and I wasn't sure. Texting our neighbors. Yeah, that can help. Calling them. I think a knock on the front door is appropriate. How you guys doing? Hey, I brought you over. We made extra of this, or I was going to make a run to the store. Do you need anything? I think those things can be helpful. You're trying to insert yourself into their lives while still being respectful of their space, right? And that's the challenge right now. Marcia says, for needs within our church, does that funnel through the deacons? How do we know of specific needs? Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, Marcia. We have a deacon team that is eager to serve during this time. So, for example, if you're at risk, right, don't go to Safeway yourself. Call us, contact us in the church, and we can go pick up food for you and bring it to your home. You know, the church wants to serve in this way. They want to help in this way. We have several deacons who are very eager to reach out and help in this way. So please utilize them, and we can work together as the church to provide for each other and help each other during this time of need. Again, that level of generosity I think is important. So please don't hesitate to reach out in the church for those things. Tina says, there is a form you can fill out for Build a Generation who is organizing volunteer help in the community, shoveling, delivering groceries, etc. I will look for the link. That's awesome, Tina. And that's again, it's a great opportunity. Those are the sorts of things we can do in order to be generous in our community, in our day and age here, right? And so those are great opportunities. Please post that link when you get a chance. Dorcas says, I found out that one of my friends was really stressed about things going on, so instead of texting, I just called her and talked to her so she could hear a voice. Nobody seems to just talk anymore, and the connection of voices seems to make a difference. I think you're right, Dorcas, and that's why I said, you know, emotional connection with people. Some people are just lonely, and there's nothing wrong with them. We were created to enjoy community with each other. We were created to be in fellowship with one another, and during this time, we can't. It's very difficult. We're doing this virtually. So during this time, it's very, very difficult to be with people in that way. Absolutely. Give them a call. Talk to them. Sometimes for extended periods in order to help them and be there for them in a time of need. That's absolutely essential, Dorcas. And I'm glad you've done that and you pointed that out as something that we can do. So these were on Facebook. I'm just going to double check these other platforms. Looks like we've got a question on Twitch, or a comment at least. Yeah, Jesse brought up a comment on Twitch. Let me just look at that real quick. One example, Jesse says, is Dorcas and John did a diaper drop off to our house. That's right, of course. Dorcas and John came and dropped off diapers at our house, which was absolutely essential because we need diapers right now. And they kind of dropped and ran, right? And we greatly appreciated that. And that's a perfect example of generosity. Thanks for bringing that up, babe. Jess said, Jess appreciated when she didn't want to take our newborn out and they asked if there was any need and then texted and left those items on our porch. That's awesome. And we could even create like little gift boxes or baskets or something like that for people, and we could drop those things off on people's porches and you could text them in advance. I think John and Dorcas did a great job of that with us, and we really appreciated it. So what a great opportunity. We could do a similar thing for others in our spheres of influence. So yes, very, very good one. Thanks for bringing that up, babe. Let's see. I've got a couple here on YouTube. Grab these. Trevor asks, what are some practical ways we can be generous during quarantine? Very good question, Trevor. That seems to be on everyone's mind right now, right? We're all trying to figure out, because it's not straightforward. It's not easy, right? So these these drop-offs, these contacting people, these talking to people over the phone, those sorts of things can be helpful. Shirley says, I like the last A in the Napa. That is usually the problem. Just do something after thinking about it. Yeah, Shirley, I know it's a problem with me. I get all the best intentions and ideas in the world. I get these big concepts blown up in my mind of what I want to do, how I want to do it, all those sorts of things. And then I don't actually act on it. I don't actually do it. Shirley says, so far in terms of practical ways that she's reaching out and being generous during a quarantine, Shirley is saying, so far I have just been calling and talking to people. And I think that's great. Again, something we struggle with during this time is loneliness. Everybody's struggling with loneliness right now. And so I think that's a great option, a great opportunity too. Tina posted the form to our Faith Life. So if you want to check out the Faith Life, you can see the form there. Let me open that. And here's how cool this is, guys. Boop. So Tina just posted this form. Lake County Volunteer Sign Up. Thank you for being willing to support your fellow Lake County residents. We know that our community is stronger together. Please fill out this form. You'll be added to a list of volunteers that organizations can utilize going forward. If you have any public assistance needs through DHS, please call 211. Name, phone, email, all this type of stuff. This is how we can be generous. One of the ways we can be generous in our community here in Lake County during this time. What a great opportunity. People are hurting, they're struggling, there's some difficulties, and here's a sign up you can go to. Tina has that link, and you can go to this area and sign up. And obviously, you know, if First Baptist Church of Leadville has a ton of people who are signed up and helping during this time, that's obviously going to reflect well on Christ. So there you go, Lake County Volunteer Sign Up, and you can get that link from Tina. She posted it on the Faith Live. Boom. Okay, thank you for that link, Tina. Gonna hit the other platforms up again. Not showing anything else on Faith Life. Back to Facebook. Lisa says, Marcia, feel free to call me or Jason if you know any needs. Jason is one of the deacons and can help organize any needed. Absolutely. I've had several of the deacons talk to me and told me to mention to the congregation, look, we're ready, we're willing, we're eager to help out and speak into other people's lives. So, yeah, please feel free to reach out to the deacons. You can send it, obviously, to the church email, and we'll get it, and we'll be able to do that. Okay. Nothing else on Twitch. I'm caught up on Facebook. Nothing additional on YouTube. Any other questions or comments, guys? It's kind of interesting, all of us interacting in this way. I can, in my head, we're all in the foyer talking to each other. We're all just chatting after the service in my head. Of course, that's not what is actually happening, but in my head, that's what we're doing. Very, very interesting. Any other questions, comments, or concerns, guys? Because if not, I'm going to let you go. I've already been keeping you for over an hour. Okay, guys, I'm not seeing anything new. So unless I see something here in the next few seconds, I'm going to go ahead and sign out. I really appreciate everyone being with me here today. Oh, Nate puts in YouTube, what's the upcoming week looking like, studies, etc.? Yeah, so right now what we've got on the docket is we're going to have another Thursday night Bible study. So I'm going to keep that going on the topic of apologetics like we did on Thursday night this week. So I'm going to do another Bible study on Thursday on the topic of apologetics in the evening at 6:30 as per usual. I haven't gotten with the guys on, you know, trying to do things with the kids or the teens or anything like that. So I don't know how we're utilizing all that through the time. We're just trying to get the basics going right now. But we do have a Thursday night Bible study that we're going with. And then, of course, the Sunday service coming up after that. If you guys have more ideas of things that you would like to do, please let us know. And we can try to get those things implemented. In addition, the equipment is coming in this week, the streaming equipment. So I'm going to be spending some time at the church trying to get that stuff set up so I can preach not from a chair, but from the pulpit, because I find it very difficult to preach without being able to move all around, which is kind of funny. So that's kind of what we've got for the week coming up, Nate. Shirley says, does anyone know if our church members are not working? I don't know of anyone, Shirley, But that's a good question. If we have church members who are not able to work right now, maybe that's an opportunity where we can step out and provide some help, in terms of needs. If any of you guys know of any of our church members that have been laid off or they're struggling during this time because maybe their hours are reduced or something like that, please let us know at the church and we can get those needs out there, guys. We're going to have to be utilizing email. We're going to have to be calling, texting each other, and trying to fill in the gaps for those needs, because I do not know right now. I'm not aware of that. Shirley says, ladies Bible study is a go for Tuesday also. That's right. I hadn't remembered that. Ladies Bible study is a go for Tuesday as well. So you guys have that going, and that's going to be a virtual digital platform as well. We'll try to send out an email for the Ladies Bible Study on Tuesday. So we've got Ladies Bible Study Tuesday, Adult Bible Study on Thursday, and then we've got a regular Sunday service on Sunday. Thank you, Shirley. Okay. Let's see. Man, I'm sorry my chat program broke. I'm going to have to figure it out. But I'm making this work. Laura Flynn says, so far the hospital is doing well, a zero COVID-19 county so far. That's awesome to hear, Laura. We can keep praying towards that end, and thank you for sharing that information. Zero COVID-19 county so far, that's awesome. We need to continue to pray for people as we work through these difficulties. Dorca says, what time Tuesday? Babe, do you know what time the Bible study is going to be on Tuesday? We will email it out. We'll email out that information, but I don't know off the top of my head what time on Tuesday. Andrew Riggs says, another thought for everyone. If you have opportunity, please also try to touch base with our missionaries to encourage them during this time as well. Absolutely, Andrew. Thanks for bringing that up. If you need their numbers, get with Andrew. He can get you their numbers, and we can contact our missionaries and see how they're doing right now during this turbulent time, because they're in very different parts of the world, right? Lisa says 6:30 on Tuesday. There you go, Dorcas. 6:30 on Tuesday for the ladies' Bible study. Jesse says the same. 6:30 Tuesday for ladies' study. So 6:30 on Tuesday, we have the ladies' Bible study. 6:30 on Thursday, we have the adult Bible study. And then Sunday at 10, we'll have our regular service again. So that's what we have on the docket right now for this week. And again, we're trying to get up to speed on all this stuff, right? This is very different. We've had to adapt very quickly. So I appreciate everyone's patience during this time. Anything else, guys? I kind of hate to shut it down because I feel like we're all interacting well. We're having good interaction, but I don't want to keep everyone either. Okay, guys, I'm not seeing anything additional. I'll give it another minute or two. And then if I don't get anything else, I'm going to pray for us. Dr. Richard on Twitch says, I think Pastor Tanner is hungry. He thinks I'm too eager to get off. Well, perhaps. That might be a driver as well. Oh, man. But no, I hope all you guys are doing well. Very happy to interact with you guys today. Shirley says, I appreciated the comments about mindset. Yeah, Shirley, and I think it really starts with mindset. That's one of the difficulties is cultivating the right mindset. Having the right mindset is not something that's easy. We're not often aware of how we're thinking about things, right? That's not something that we're often aware of. How are my thoughts affecting my actions? That's not something we're often aware of, but it is something we need to be aware of. So And you can see the text talks about that mindset, right? We need to have this type of mindset going forward. So, yeah, thanks for that comment, Shirley. Okay, anything else, guys? I'm not seeing any more comments. Okay, guys, I'm going to pray for us, and then I will shut her down. Father God, thank you so much for this time we could spend together as a church across all these different platforms on the internet, interacting with each other, trying to think about generosity, Lord. A lot of this is going to take initiative on individuals' fronts. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as individuals to take initiative, to be generous, to go out of our way to be generous. Help us to rely upon one another, to reach out to each other and all of those things, Lord God. But I pray that you would help us to take that initiative and be generous with each other and to seek those things out, Lord God, that you might receive the glory and the praise that you deserve. I pray that your church would shine as a light during this time, that people would see the Christian community as a community that loves to be generous in a time of need. I thank you for your grace and mercy. Please be with us, each of us, this week, and help us to glorify and honor you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, guys, thank you so much for being with me today. That is our church service, and we're going to continue to work on this throughout the week. I really appreciate all of you. Keep working with each other, asking questions, interacting with each other on what can we do to be generous during this time, because we need to be. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge when we can't interact with each other in the ways that we're used to interacting. So I think a lot of good ideas were brought up today. Keep the conversation going. Keep the conversation going on Faith Life, on Facebook, all of those things, and we'll keep interacting and trying to do these things. So love you guys. Hope you have a good week overall. I will post another midweek devotional thought on YouTube, and I'll send that to you guys as well. So that'll be available for Wednesday. Again, Tuesday, ladies Bible study. Wednesday, I'll post a devotional thought somewhere around midday to late in the day. Thursday, we'll have adult Bible study. And then Sunday, we will have our regular service again on another topic, coronavirus week 4. So hope you guys have a great week. Please reach out to each other. Reach out to our deacons if you need help or you know somebody who needs help. Thank you so much for all that you guys have done and all that you continue to do. Praying for you guys, and please continue to pray for one another. Take care. God bless. Bye now.